You guys sounded good on the radio. I listened on my computer at work. The first time I ever tried that, it was pretty good.
I thought Aaron did a good job with.
Right.
A lot of people say, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?
They actually paid me not to take a picture of my cat.
Because of all the reasons that he used, especially history and the problems that have been created in the past.
Yeah, I was.
We got a lot of questions, too. Usually you get on those programs and wonder if anybody's listening.
Was it not Jim Turpin or something?
No, it was Brian Barger.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Jim wasn't there. I don't know why.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to call this meeting to order. I want to make sure that everyone is aware this is a public meeting, so it's not, I guess we're not in trouble of any sort of violation, but we don't typically have a video camera, but we are being videotaped today, so what I'm asking everyone to do is project. We don't have the high-tech equipment that they have over at when they usually do the county board meetings or something. But we have something that's going to work. So we thank Dave for stepping in to do that. And at this point, we can call the meeting to order. It is 5:32, Friday, September 24th, 2010, 5:32 p.m. at the Brookings Administrative Center in the Jennifer K. Putnam Meeting Room, the Citizens Advisory Committee for Jury Service. We have roll call.
Roger Holland.
Tom DeFonis.
Ken Turner.
Brian Dolanin.
Bill Brown.
Randy Rosenbaum.
Jenny Putnam.
Aaron Ammons. Okay, does everyone have an agenda? Can we have an approval of the agenda?
Move to approve.
Moved by Mr. Holland, second by Mr. Rosenbaum. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, so we have an approval of the agenda and approval of the minutes from August 2010. Did we pass those out as well? Okay. I read them already, so I'm fine. Everyone had Ms. Button? No? So has everyone had a chance to look over the minutes? Okay. Can we have a motion to approve the minutes from August 21st of 2010?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Hollis, second by Mr. Rosenbaum. The discussion.
Since typing this draft, I added about four sentences after the paragraph on new business outreach, and I've titled it Report to August 10th County Board Meeting. Because we did, the folks who participated during the Justice and Social Services portion of the County Board's August 10th Committee of the Whole did comment on what that experience had been like. And Mr. Weibel has gone to make copies of the minutes that the professional recording secretary, Pat Ward, made excellent, produced excellent minutes describing that. So this will give you a true picture of what happened at that August 10th meeting. And so that I can get, I'd like to be correct, and with Dr. Underwood here, I wonder if in the first paragraph called New Business Outreach, I may not have correct spelling of the individuals who were invited to join us tonight. I've got Dr. Evelyn Burnett Underwood, and then there's a Dr. Troy Burks, and I don't know if I've spelled Burks correct. B-U-R-K-E-S.
I don't think there's an E. This is for the minutes.
Oh, there's the minutes.
These are the minutes.
Oh.
Are there other extra minutes?
Oh, okay.
And
take out the E, okay. And then Dr. Tatum. What is Dr. Patrick's name?
Bryant.
No, I'm talking about his dad.
Oh, dad. I don't know what Dr.
Reverend Tatum.
Reverend Tatum's first name.
I'm not sure. We have to get that.
Okay. Okay, well, if you would work with me to write that in. And Dr. Underwood, you could go over the spelling there, so we don't have to. I will appreciate that.
I think Bishop Gwynn is the title, Bishop Lloyd Gwynn. And I think is it G-Y, G-W-Y-N?
No, it's G-W-I-N.
Just one N.
Just one N,
okay. So it's Bishop.
Okay.
Dr. Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E.
D.J. Taylor
is his name.
Thank you.
Yes, it's probably Brian.
I'm
glad
to get together with you
after.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
No, that's fine. Thank you for being so thorough. So I guess we need an approval of the minutes with the corrections.
So moved.
So moved by Mr. Turner.
Second.
Second by Mr. Rosenbaum. Any more discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. The next item on the agenda is public participation. This is always the fun part for us. It's so nice to have some people up in the public. Anything from public participation yet? Sure. Carol Amers is here for public participation, folks.
Well, I do want to just say that I enjoyed the radio program. Actually, I was semi-educated, and I had more questions, so I thought more of those opportunities would stir up more dialogue with people in the community, because I know I did, and the callers that called in, they had other questions as well. So I thought that was good outreach tool, as well as the consistent committee person, Sue Reed, on Fridays. I just appreciate that, because I know how difficult that is to do this on Fridays. So thank you all for doing this.
Thank you. None from you, sir? No? All right. So from the public participation, while we sort of await maybe the arrival of a few more people, why don't we do the announcements and communications? I can go now. Are there any other announcements or communications other than the ones that I have listed here? Okay. So I wanted to, Judge DeFantis and I sort of discussed this when we did the radio program. So we're having this Unity March that we do every year, CU Citizens for Peace and Justice, and many other entities in the community and supporting agencies. And so we're going to be doing the Unity March October 9th. October 9th, which is the anniversary of the, I hate to say anniversary, but year to the date that Kiwan Carrington was killed. And so we'll be doing that at noon. The starting point is the actual location where he was killed, 906 West Vine. And we'll be going to the community garden. The theme this year is sowing seeds of empowerment. And I thought that the way this committee connects to that is that this is one of the ways that we're asking the community to empower itself, is to get involved with the community, with the jury service. And Judge DeFantis and I sort of discussed this, and it did come up on Penny for Your Thoughts, that the even looking at the settlement and the likelihood and the direction of the attorney who's handling the estate for the Carrington family, if the perception is from this attorney is that he doesn't think that he can get a jury that represents his defendant, or if he feels he's going to get an all-white jury, he's far more likely to push for a settlement. So there's various different ways that the work that we're doing here with this committee affects the entire community and affects this situation in particular. So I thought it relevant to mention it here with this group tonight. The next thing is the symposium that is also in relationship to that. But this is the symposium on the 8th is going to take place at the Asian American Culture Center on campus. And that's 1210 Nevada, 1210 West Nevada. Now that symposium is going to be talking going to talk more about deaths and other truths. It's a way for the students to get involved with social activism, and that's an opportunity for us to also share information about jury service and the importance of it. And the side note there, which I sort of did a colon there, made it look like that was the theme. We're preparing a town hall meeting. I was approached today to work with some people in the community to put together a town hall meeting about shared community values. And so, of course, I thought this all fed right into what we're doing. We want people to embrace the idea of jury service, be educated about it. So I'll be getting back to you all and giving you more information about how we can participate in that. And tomorrow at 11 a.m., I will be on the on WBCP 1580 a.m., with Reverend Jerome Chambers doing a straight talk live.
Did your show get moved? I thought you used it earlier, right?
No, our show is on WEFT.
I'm sorry.
Our show is on WEFT on Saturdays, and I'll be on this Saturday at 9 a.m. from 9 to 10. Yes, ma'am.
Aaron, tomorrow with Reverend Chambers, is the subject of your... What exactly is the subject of your comments, Mark? Is it the work of the Citizens Advisory Committee on Jury Service?
Right, that is why I brought that up. Thank you, Jenny, so I can clarify that. The bulk of that conversation will indeed be about the work that we've done or we're doing with CACJS, trying to get the information out. This is our target population on WBCP, and I thought it would be good to get there and get this information out and have a discussion with Reverend Chambers about that. So it would be nice for folks to listen and call in for that as well. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know whether or not when you were at WDWS last Wednesday, if you saw the notebook I put together.
I did.
So if you have that with you, that would be good to take on future
public. I do have it. I don't have it with me, but
okay, that's fine.
I have.
That's
yes.
fine. I thought, as long as we put that together, we might as well.
They tried to keep it, but I said no.
I told him they could copy it.
Yeah. I think they did. He was very helpful. Brian said it was very helpful. Yeah. Okay, so those were announcements. Are there any other announcements or communications? All right, seeing none. This one, I checked, I went too fast. The radio, review of the radio appearance. Now, we do have guests, a guest at this particular point. We were expecting more. Dr. Underwood, are you
press for time, can you say, or do you need to, of course, to get into this, the reason why we invited you?
No, I
thank you very much. Okay. All right, thank you. So we're going to, yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to ask. Well, welcome, everyone. I haven't seen you in a while, so good to see you. I have a question in terms of the Ministerial Alliance being in full support of the march. Did they talk a little bit about the work that we're doing on this committee and if they would be in full support of the work that we're doing here as well?
Oh, certainly. And I don't want to take away from what the general has been doing and talking to a lot of ministers, especially women, I think especially, but they are ministers who are not a part of the Ministerial Alliance. If you can reach an action and you can appreciate that because a lot of them are not a part of the Ministerial Alliance, you have reached out to them, I think that's great. And I think they too being support of this group is so important because we know a lot of our members, and you know my husband and I are over at the courthouse a lot. And a lot of other ministers, especially some of the pastors who are from the department area.
I just want to remind the people who came in a little late that we are videotaping this session, as we had talked about before. So if people could project as good, well as possible, that would be appreciated. So number seven, where we are on the agenda, is just a quick, if there are any comments about the radio appearance, whoever was able to listen, what we could get out next time, what we did well, so because there are going to be various other opportunities for us to get out and talk about this. So, anybody? I was going to say, who listened? That's what we want to know.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right. Go ahead. Yes.
Although it could be said that the WDWS listening audience is what we might think of as our target audience, the flow, the volume of calls coming in, and the, what I imagined to be the backgrounds of the folks calling, you can only imagine, of course, I think underscores the fact that there is a consistent ongoing need for public education about jury service, and that all people care about this. It's not something that just people of color feel about, or just people who are alienated from the jury system think about. People in Champaign County care about this. Furthermore, when we have talked from time to time about what is the life of this committee, is it 1 year only to finish our job? Is it 1 2-year term of the county board to finish our job? I think some jobs are never finished, any more than the education arm of, say, the community blood service. It never gets done. They're always needing to tell people, you've got to donate blood. There's an ongoing need for it. The campaign to have people volunteer to be mentors in school, that's not going to end. As long as there are people reaching, approaching age 18 and the age of legal ability to serve as jurors, fresh every year, there's new potential jurors. I think this is an ongoing need for education about jury service. And I want to thank you both very, very much for making yourselves available. I think it was wholly worthwhile. I thought you did a magnificent job. Did you get my little email afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. I just said that made me very proud of our work.
I don't know who was next.
I think the comments that you made need a little clarification, Jennifer, about why do you think that because of what you heard on the radio, you believe that the work is important and it needs to continue. Were there any specific calls that were made that led you to that?
People consistently say, I've lived here for 60 years and I've never been called. But my wife, who lives in the same house with me, she's been called 4 times. Okay. How come I don't get to serve? And it goes back to the definition of random and people not understanding what random means. That couple, where he was never called and she was called 4 times, that demonstrates what random is. But people need to know.
You know, and I keep going back to that same question and, you know, of this whole idea of randomness and why is it that we can't, because we've heard this a number of times. A number of people have been called over and over again. How their number keeps coming up, it's, you know, you only get struck by lightning once. I mean, it's like, how do you keep getting that to happen to a number of people? My niece was called 2 or 3 times and so I know that this random thing, but I keep wanting to bring up here, is there any way that we can, those people who have been pulled and who have been in this, who have served, to get pulled and set aside out of the random selection? And I know that they say then it doesn't become random. Yes, it does, because those individuals that are still in, who haven't served, get their chance of serving gets pushed up, increased. And so,
well, this comes from folks who I've talked to outside as well. And I know Roger attempted to square this away with us once before.
I don't know why.
And the question being posed, I guess, is now, just for one more time for clarity, if, how many of us here at the table? Let's just say if you got 10 people, Roger, and 6 of them get called in 2010, are they eligible to get called in 2011? Those 6 people.
You have a year.
You have a year that you get kicked out. So they'll be eligible in 2012. Mm-hmm. So everybody that gets called in 2010 is not eligible until 2012.
Correct.
So a year.
It's either a year or 2 years.
A year or 2 years. So okay. we should absolutely be.
And it's actually on the I think you might have a copy of it and stuff. There's questions about if you're have a lawsuit pending. And then there's a person who has served as a grand or petit juror within the last year. So it is 12 months. I was right.
A year.
So it is 12 months. You are automatically exempted from jury service.
And then we
exemptions are in the statute. That's not something that we create. That
but you can be exempt, and you have to ask for that exemption. And that's what that
election,
that's what that other committee is for. Because if I served within a year and I got called again, then I can appeal to the committee to say, listen, I
right, that's there. Exactly right.
But it doesn't take me out of the rotation.
Right, you're still in the pool, but you can always ask to be excused.
Oh, so but the name is still in the pool.
Yeah, a lot of names are still, all names are still in the pool.
And so I guess
the data that we get from the Secretary of State does not distinguish between if you served 100 times or 1 time. It makes no difference. That data is raw data that comes from their office.
And I guess what's coming from the community and also from this table is there a way for us to, to search, where would we even go to ask for that to be done? who would we even approach to say, hey, can we take these 16,000 names and put them on hold for 12 months or for 2 years? Who would we even go to even, to, who has the power and the authority to do that?
State legislature.
It's a question of having served, not whether or not you've sent in your questionnaire. I mean,
having served.
Right, how many questionnaires have we sent out in the course of a year?
I think that information is in there, too, as far as what we did last year. We sent out 6,100 since actually this year. Since January 1, we've sent out 6,100 questionnaires, and we've sent out 5,400 summonses.
So the people that get summoned in actually come into the courthouse. Those are the ones that should be you want taken out of the system because they've already been here.
Right.
It doesn't mean they've served on a jury, but they've actually been in the courthouse.
Right.
I'm not sure how we can do that. It might just be a question of if we can get the computer to delete these names until the next. Well, of course, they're not going to be called in the same calendar year.
Right.
But they might be called the next year or the year after that. I've had people that have been called for jury service two or three times, and it's in a course of maybe 10 years. The vast majority of the people that that come in for jury service, this is their first time. But we still see people that have been called two, three, four times.
I don't know who was next. Do you have your name up,
Hannah, Bill? I said I listened. I'll just say I thought that you guys did a really good job, and I think I've heard several times people ask why, you know, why do we need to do this? It's a random process, so everybody has an equal chance. And I think you handled that pretty well, and there was a follow-up call from somebody, too, right after that kind of addressed that. I think that's something we need to kind of keep emphasizing, too, is that it's not just that everybody has an equal chance to get in the pool. There's a lot of barriers to serving after that happens, and, you know, mm-hmm. And I think you guys talked about that.
Okay. I want to try to keep this orderly. So we're talking about the review of the radio appearance, but Ms. Avery brought up a point that we've been chiming in on. So let's close that piece. Okay, if everybody's clear on what we were trying to do with Ms. Avery, does anyone have was your comment in relationship to that, Patrick?
Well, random. Well, there's a couple of things, and the random part, and I'm you know myself, I'm not clearly understand if it, when you say random is it 1 through 10. If, for example, if you say okay, one out of are they doing every 10, every 20, every 30, every 50, or every 100 person?
So I don't know exactly what the algorithm is. It's inside the computer program. I know that what happens is we get the data once a year from the Secretary of State that has everyone who is within Champaign County, who is a registered voter, who has a driver's license or an ID card. Then what we do is we say we want to send out X number of questionnaires, whether it's 100, 150, sometimes we send out 400 a week until we get the pool up to the number that we are comfortable with. At that point, then the computer goes out and uses this algorithm to randomly select. I don't think it's one out of every 10. I think it varies it up. I don't think it's one out of every 10. I think it's truly a random selection.
So it could be like one at 5, and then up to 1 at 15.
It could, exactly right.
1 at 30.
Exactly. Or it could do 3 in a row. It's just completely random that way. Okay. And so then what happens is then those questionnaires are kicked, those ad names and addresses are kicked out, the questionnaires are printed, we mail them out, they come back, we take the ones who are qualified, indicating that they meet the minimum qualifications, 18, U.S. citizen, resident of Champaign County, not party to a pending lawsuit. We take those folks and we send out summonses based on the number of juries that we're going to, the number of jury weeks that we have. If we need juries, we send out 150 and we pull in from there. So that's how that works.
My other question, my other comment, and thankfully, Ms. Underwood and Andre and Sister Carol for showing up. I did contact the people that I was supposed to contact. And for whatever reason, they're not here. I was hoping that, you know, that they would show up for the simple fact to make it a lot easier on us and to get them involved. And what's going to be the next step of how we're going to get the information out? Are we going to continue to keep asking them to come, or are we going to do some more? I know Barb suggested maybe we do some videoing to educate, to explain what is jury, what it's about, you know, what are their rights, what are the constitutional rights, and if that's something that we're going to move into, because we can continue. I mean, I can follow up and say, okay, hey,
you know, how about we do this? Because I understand your concern. How about we move that to the new business, you know, about what we're going to do outside of what we're doing here. You know, outside of asking folks to come in. What you just brought up, let's move that down the agenda to the new business so we can spend more time on that. Okay, and then we can get to our guests. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay, that'd all right. Other comments about what we could do. Ms. Kessel.
Are we still on the radio show?
Yes. Okay, what we can do to improve that and what we did good that we want to keep doing.
Well, I had one point of confusion myself.
Okay.
And that was Judge Tafanas talked about continuous jury duty or something. What is that? I
continuous jury term.
Term. What does that mean?
Oh, several years ago, we decided, in the old days, we had jury 2 weeks out of every month. The same 2 weeks. All the courtrooms used the jury term for those 2 weeks, and jurors would be called in for a two-week time frame. We changed it in using an example of the three courtrooms that do felonies. If I'm picking a jury the first week, the people come in, there's for 1 week term. My second week of the jury term, Judge Clem would begin his first week. So now we've got two courtrooms running. The beginning of his second week of the jury term, Judge Ladd would begin her first week. The beginning of Judge Ladd's second week, I'd pick up my first week. And we rolled it through. And initially, we had over 40 weeks of jury trials. because of the budget, we've cut it back substantially. But that was the initial reason and the way we did it. And so we just kind of continued on with jury trials. But all the courtrooms weren't running at the same time. And jurors are only called in for 1 week now.
Oh, okay.
There were some benefits of doing it that way. At the same time, we went to the two-step process with the questionnaire and the summons because our returns on our summonses was so low that we ended up having to send out a lot more summonses. So now we use the two-stage process. And so basically what the continuous means is that it's more than 24 weeks out of a year. It's more like 36, 38, 40, depending on.
But as far as a juror is concerned, it's 1 week.
They get 1 week.
That's it.
Unless we have some sort of special jury, which we occasionally do, which they could serve up to two, but it's a rarity.
Okay.
Most 99% of the time, it's 1 week.
The other question I had was that guy that called about, while everybody has an equal chance, so I don't know what you're doing in your committee and everything, and everybody, you know, that guy. And I was thinking, didn't we talk a lot about returned mail on the questionnaires, that we had a lot of people that didn't ever get reached because their address changes a lot, and those people are usually poor people whose addresses change very frequently.
Right.
So they're on the state rolls this way, and they've already moved. That would be a reason, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so you're saying that we should clarify other barriers, I think.
Yeah, that's
William
what
was
saying.
Talking about that as well.
Clarifying
other barriers.
Because it wasn't clear then what, you know, it was sort of left in the air. Well, you know, like, what's wrong with people that they don't just step up? Which is, of course, part of the problem, but not the whole problem.
Okay. Judge Defense?
I believe it was at that point that you talked about the history. The history of African-American people in our society and the problems that they went through just to be able to vote, let alone get on jury duty. And you're working against that perception. And I thought I thought that was an incredibly accurate and appropriate response to the question. That's part of the problem. That really is. And I thought that your explanation, what people have been through, and you know, how we're trying to keep it going.
I think that, not that there's any answer to any of this, one answer to solve all the problems, but we do send all of our data once we get it through the change of address. So if someone goes through the effort of going to the post office and changing their address, we do capture that. If we get an address, if we get a questionnaire or a summons back where they've indicated that they're, what the new address is of a person and it still remains Champaign County, sometimes there'll be a sticker on there if it happens between times when we run it through the change of address. We send them out, we change the address and send them out a new one. Some of the data that I gave Judge DeFantis in preparation for the appearance indicated that, if my memory serves, of all of the questionnaires we send out, one of the biggest things I think this committee can do about outreach is to say that 54% of every questionnaire that gets sent out doesn't get sent back. Not that comes back a bad address. Does not come back. Meaning that it went to somebody's house and they didn't send it back. So, so this outreach that we're doing and the communication that we're trying to do and an explanation about the jury system is very important because we're really working hard to try to get more people in. But when you have 54% of the questionnaires that don't even bother to get sent back, and that's this calendar year. So if that's from January 1 to sometime in September when Kirk cut it off. The other thing I wanted to say is that we haven't had a lot of returns back on the questionnaires yet that have been changed, but on the ones we had, I believe Judge DeFantis mentioned this in the radio, we've had about 93 that came back with an indication of race. 15 of those were indicated that they were African American, and that represents about 16% of those that came back. So it's a very tiny amount, shouldn't read a whole lot into it, but it is somewhat indicative of the fact that we are getting data and that sort of thing.
Okay. Oh, just one second. I'm trying to get us off of this number seven. Review of the radio. But this is important for us because Judge DeFantis and I will not be the only ones talking about this. If we have some sort of mantra or some sort of slogan or some sort of set pieces that we want to make sure, talking points. Thank you. The public participation is amazing tonight. It's really nice. The talking points that we make sure are clear. And it's very difficult. I mean, we at WDWS or the commercial station like that, you break for another commercial. So it's hard for the discussion to carry all the way through. But I did feel after we left that if we had a starting point that we agreed on and we moved as far as we can along that starting point, and even when we get calls, we answer that call and go back to where we left off so that we can carry people to a particular point, I think will be helpful for us. We'll take one more comment on this, and then we're going to move on.
Well, my mom has been called, and she's been here a long time. And my stepfather just got called for October. And just hearing, and just, that's the first time. And just when he said that to me, you know, I'm looking at his reaction. He doesn't want to come. Now, he doesn't want to come. And he didn't want to let me pry. Because I tried to pry, so what is it? You know, why you don't want to go? So he said, I don't want to go. You know, but I said, he's going to come, but he doesn't want to go. So, you know, and it's going to take me a little bit of prying. Why you don't want to go? You know, because it could be a number of reasons.
Right.
You know, he may just not want to, or he may, you know, I don't really know, but he ain't let me pry. So I'm going to ask him again. But they have, you know, for both of them, my mom, you know, it was really, for her, it was really a, something that she was really, really nervous because she didn't really know what to expect. And she didn't get called to get on a jury. But she was there, and her friend as well. First time, she got called. So that's what I'm hearing from them, that they have been getting called. So I'll leave that at that.
Okay. All right. So we know that there's some things that we could do different. If folks, if y'all want to send stuff over to emails after thinking about it or something like that, or after hearing me tomorrow, you know, we can talk afterwards. We can send emails, phone calls to sort of see how we can start from point A and move as far along on that process as we can to make sure people are educated. I think Denzel Washington said, you have to explain this to me like I'm two, right? You know what I mean? So we can really do that. Because even as we said it over and over again, that there are four ways to get in the pool, people kept falling back saying, it's voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, so some people just have things stuck in their head that they don't want to let go of. Okay, so that's good. And I'll just do this quickly, number eight, and then we'll move to our guests after that. We went through a lot. Jenny and I did some research on the photo of the jury of our peers.
Mm-hmm.
And it is copywritten. And so Jenny was wanting to make sure that we were doing everything decent and in order. And we went through like three different layers of trying to find how to use this without being in violation of anything. And prior to, we did all this prior to the event that was supposed to take place Friday with the Yankee Ridge students who were doing a walkthrough. And Barbara Wysocki, who had worked with Matt Gladden on trying to get a fact sheet together and trying to get the fact sheet on the back of this so that we could pass it around, that the picture would garner, the images would garner people's attention, and then the fact sheet would be on the back. I put together the facts, but we could not get this taken care of, so I didn't want to send a sheet of paper with four points on it and hand it to a bunch of children. You know what I mean? That didn't feel right to me. So I think this is a perfect segue for us to go to talk to our guests and to explain why we invited them here to work with us, because we would have to produce a fact sheet, a brochure, or something that's going to be a tangible handout that's readable and that's reader-friendly and things like that. So tonight we have the Reverend Dr. Evelyn Underwood, who is the president of the Local Ministers Alliance, and Carol Ammons, County Board. She was brought along. She wasn't invited necessarily with the part of this. But she's here, and Andre Arrington also has come to visit us because he is with he's the director of the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club. So we had spoke at length about the Ministers Alliance, Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, various different agencies to help us get this community education jumped off. And while everyone is here, I did speak with Tracy Parsons also, and there's a couple of members there, Sean Lampkin and Karen Sims, who are very interested in working with us and getting that done. So they are on board as well. I spoke also with Preston Williams, who's the superintendent for Urbana Schools, and he's setting up a meeting for myself and maybe Judge DeFantis to meet with the principals at the middle school and the high school, so that we can work with the history teachers on with the jury service. What else? There's I spoke with Reverend Chambers, who is the president of NAACP, and he may even be coming here this evening. And so we've had a lot of people who are on board who are willing to support and to help get the information out. So with that said, yes, ma'am.
Now, what were you saying about the Yankee Ridge children? I didn't get that.
Well, the Yankee Ridge children took a field trip, tour of the courthouse this past Friday. Not today, but last week.
Okay.
And we were trying to put together a fact sheet on the back of, if I can have that, I can show it to you.
The relationship of that is what we're doing.
Right, exactly. So what we wanted to do was to put together something like this that has something that really gets your attention. Because to contextualize this for everybody, this committee is put together to help come up with creative ways to increase the jury participation for African Americans and people of color. Okay. And so the perception, as Patrick was alluding to, as Judge DeFantis was talking about, from a historical perspective, is that we don't feel that we have a jury of our peers. In this picture, with a cat as a defendant and 12 dogs as a juror, is what we're talking about, what we're dealing with, why we have to upset this this perception of the jury, and why we have to participate. So we thought that image, on the backside of that image, if we had four or five facts about jury service, it would get people's attention, they would read it, the children would take it home to the parents, and the parents would then read it. It was just another way of getting the information out. And so with the Ministers Alliance and all the members that are in the churches,
to have opportunities to come to the church and maybe speak for a moment, to have it on your agenda, to be able to pass something out like that to your, to all the ministers, be able to pass it out to their congregations. These are ways that how this all ties together. And of course, with Andre with the Boys and Girls Club, I mean, getting it to all the students and getting it to the hands of all the parents. That's one of the ways that we're talking about trying to do this.
So, am I hearing you say that you want to convince people that they are? I mean, because what do you, I don't understand what you're saying, because African Americans generally don't feel that they are, you know, that they're not being. I mean, what are you saying?
I'm saying that.
Convince them that what?
We're trying to convince them. We're trying to show that. Let's just say that defendant is African American, mm-hmm. and he feels or she feels that this all-white jury is not a jury of his or her peers, and that their perception, this defendant, thinks that all of these white people that are sitting up here thinks he's a, or she is a criminal, or has a bias towards this defendant, like the dogs have a bias towards the cat. You understand? And so, feeling like that, even if it's not true, the perception has to be disrupted. We have to make sure that we have, that defendants have a jury of their peers, and that's age, that's color, and all of those different things. Am I still not clear?
I'm
ask a question, please, ask away. I don't know.
I'm trying to get, you know.
We want more people of color to serve on the jury.
Yes. So they can.
So the defendants don't necessarily feel as though that they are being, that there's a bias.
Okay,
or
yeah, okay, yes. I see. So, okay, I get it. So otherwise, okay.
Is there something else that I'm missing? Anybody missing?
No, this is not directly related to Dr. Underwood's comments, but even though we didn't get something together by September 17th, and I presume the Yankee Ridge students came, they had their field trip, but they weren't given something to take away. Nonetheless, thanks to numerous email exchanges, we have the contact information now, and it will not be that difficult to get permission to use these powerful, catchy images. And also, this isn't the only clever graphic. I think Tom Betts in particular identified a source of educational material. We can produce a catchy, appropriate handout. We just weren't able to do it by September 17th.
Correct.
I actually was part of the Yankee Ridge tour. In fact, my part of the discussion was on jury service. I had the kids in the jury assembly room actually discussed with them the importance of jury service, talked to them about how important it was to make sure that their parents and the siblings that were old enough were to serve. And I do believe that Barb Wysocki did have a handout that she was going to give them. Now, I don't know what the handout said, but she was going to give them to the teachers to pass out afterwards. But I think we had two or three different groups come through, and we had a very lively discussion about jury service. They also had a chance to go to a courtroom and where Julia Reitz and the sheriff met with them and kind of talked them through the different parts of the courtroom, the trial process, and that sort of thing. So I think they did get quite a bit out of it. It wasn't as good as obviously having the handouts, but I did the best I could with what I
was. And Randy wasn't there? You weren't there to balance that scale off a little bit?
Probably
work. All right. Did you get something? Okay. So is that something that's possible?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, Andre, is that something that we could orchestrate for the club members?
Yeah, I think we should step further. One of the things that we just have to do is we want to do a mock election where we're teaching the kids about city government. And so they have elected their own mayor, aldermen, and aldermen are based upon grade level. Kids get their own speeches. And I think the more role playing that children can do in those roles and perspective roles. And I know Sonia does have a desire to do like a peer jury, but I think it's just a mere fact of what is the process, you know, to act. I think kids learn better more when you give them intellectual value into the process. not just not belittling or denying the tour, don't get me wrong, but if the kids get that empowerment and feeling, then they can also intellectualize the process. I think that is has a tremendous amount of value.
Okay. So tours alone, but even to take it, to expand that and to make it even more hands-on, they get to actually be the judge and be the prosecutor and have a random pool and all that. Right.
Does this random pool come from? Is this in a machine? You know, we all see the lottery machine and we see balls and like that. But is it Social Security numbers? Is it, what is it? You know, if they got more information, because I think it is kind of like a mystery, you know, how does this process evolve and how does one get selected? I think then the children can be, they'll be more eager, they'll be more, it'll pique their interest, and I think they'll be more involved moving forward. And at least they'll be more educated about the process. You know, so you think, this is something I'm being exposed to after years, but when I grow up, I won't be as intimidated like we just spoke about. So, I think we all have had our anxiety about why, but it's kind of like, yeah, you miss days of work, you may miss some money, but you know, I just don't want to sit around or just be a part of the process. Well, you know, I think you kind of mock, have a mock jury pool, jury selection, et cetera. I think it's a bold way.
Now, I know we did a mock, Steve Beckett didn't do the mock trial.
Yes, they do. Eighth graders from Holy Cross every year, primarily due to Mr. Beckett's and his wife's affiliation with that school. So they come in, they do a mock trial where they have 12 students act as jurors. They have students who act as prosecutors and defense and the judge. And again, I usually help the defense, and I've lost every year to Mr. Beckett, which is fine. But we do that, and that's something that we can do. And there are a lot of there's a lot of information out there about different fact patterns and things that you can use for mock trials, depending on the age of the individuals that you're trying to reach. So I think it's a good experience. And Mary Shank comes in and acts as the person who was mugged on the street, and she does a good job of acting. So it's quite impressive.
One thing that right there, you know, if you take any. You know, whether it is the stockbroker, you know, investment assimilations. Very seldom that people of color or disenfranchised youth or people are involved in that process. So, I mean, I think for the children of the Holy Cross, it's a much invaluable experience. But if we're now talking, how do you get minorities involved in this process? Well, right there, from the education standpoint, early education, kind of left out. And so we're talking about civic responsibility is something that is learned, taught, and modeled. Well, they're already getting that learning and teaching on the front end. And where this other population, of the minority population, is being left out.
Is Holy Cross a middle school? Or
It's a 7th
grade. K through 8.
Yeah, it's usually the 8th graders. They're the ones that
come. But it's the 8th graders that come.
I believe, yes.
When I taught 8th graders, I had them do it when I got out of law school. I did that with my kids, and they were African American and white kids.
So
I had that.
I've also done it with Urbana High School. They had a business law class, and I went in, and there was a pretty broad cross section of students, and we did a mock trial there. So it was a different fact pattern, but it's, you know, very similar to that situation.
So my initial thought was, how do you block out the space in the courtroom? How do you, is that not an issue?
It can be. You let us know, and we look at the calendar and see if we
give us enough notice, and we'll make courtrooms available.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. It was Patrick.
I know. So when we're talking about a mock trial, are we talking about bringing in students? Or how is this mock trial going to look? And how, for example, if we say, okay, this is a young man that's on trial for whatever. So, and we're looking at videotaping this and saying, okay, what is going to be how we're going to get to the point, the learning points of this mock trial. So, for example, if that person is on trial for something and we place a jury, whether it's all white jury and you have a judge and both attorneys, and the learning experience is to say, okay, is he guilty or is he innocent or how, or what is that individual's rights, constitutional rights, and how, you know, what are the learning experience? Because I have a different way I see a learning experience for a popular, for someone from 18 to 40 or 18 to 35. And I have a different way of seeing their, you know, their character and what they respond to and how they react. And just like what I gave with my mom and my stepfather, you know, what their concerns were. And they, you know, and how, and they're much, much, much older. So we're talking about a younger population. Because far as you don't see single parents, single women. You know, what's the learning? Because it has to be a learning experience in that mock trial to get them to say, okay, how am I going to? What's the importance? Because you want to say, okay, well, this was an innocent man found guilty. Well, this was a guilty man found innocent. That's not the learning experience. The learning experience is, to me, is how you need to, how you conduct yourself, the need to be, understanding why, you know, what are your constitutional rights, understanding what are these amendments, what are they for, how does it operate, you know, how does the judge instruct, you know, the voir dire, how do the prosecutor and defense attorney, how do they operate?
There's a lot that's going on there, and I understand where you're coming from, but I think we're going to have to flush out some things. And the one thing that Jenny, Ms. Putnam said from the very beginning is that this is an ongoing education piece. So I don't want us to feel like we have to put everything, you know, because it's just not going to be absorbed in one mock trial. This is something, as I listened to Andre speak about this, and this is something that you said that Steve Beck and them have been doing for years now.
Correct. Once a year.
So let us think about these things in long term as opposed to just one mock trial. Judge DeFinis and then Ms. Kessel.
Well, one of the, again, the goal of this committee is to get more people to fill out the questionnaire so they become available for jury service. But if you take young children, and it depends on the age of the children. What are we going to teach them? If we have young children, third, fourth, fifth graders, hopefully we teach them that jury service is something important, and they'll go home and tell their parents. And when their parents get that questionnaire, mm-hmm. there'll be some encouragement there. As the kids get older, you start dealing with older kids, then you start to get into some of the factors that, why is this jury service important? What is it that you're actually doing on a jury? You know, what is your role? So I think it we can gauge the message by the age of the children, but I think if you're dealing with young children, you get them to understand that jury service is important, and when mom or dad or whoever's in the household gets one of those questionnaires, they encourage their parent.
Yeah, yeah, all right. It's very much that way, because if we stimulate children early on, then you can stimulate household. Because if there's no stimulus from the household, because whatever the apathy or just resistance to it is, then the child will never get it. But what happens, just not pick it on the Holy Cross situation, 9 times out of 10, there's newspapers read in that household, there's news watched in that household, and there is language spoken about a civil process, or the civil processes that exist, as well as politics. And the other low-income child household, there's a high probability that may not be spoken, just due to what goes on in the dynamics of those two subcultures. So the only way that you can address it early on is to motivate the child and start educating children early on, because if it's not taken off in the house, counselor. You have to start somewhere. You can't make a 40-year-old start talking about politics, start talking about the races, the jury selection. But you can start planting seeds for children, and hopefully when they become 40, they are a little bit more passionate about it.
And then seeds. Miss Kessel, and then we're going to come back to Sister Ammons over there, who's been waiting very patiently in the public participation section over there.
I was thinking back to something you said a couple of meetings ago, Aaron, about talking to some audience about young people about how much power they have when they're on a jury. That it's not how they surround and vote, you know, 6-4. If one person can stop the process, if their arguments are powerful enough. And so if they experience that as kids in a jury where they arguing back and forth about whether this person is guilty or innocent, and they aren't guilty or innocent. You know, it's a mock trial. We don't know. We don't care. It's like the argument and the process mm-hmm. of experiencing the power of argument. When each person counts that much, that would make you want, I would think any kid would want to have that experience as an adult after they have experienced the power of that. And then when they think about the fact that there might be juries without anybody like them on it, that would make them want it even more. So I think it's a pretty simple purpose in the sense of getting them excited, like Mr. Arrington, getting them excited about wanting to do it and make their parents feel that excitement.
So before we dig deeper into that, I know Judge DeFantis wants us, he always talks about being very responsible about what message is being sent to that. And we're not telling folks to just, you know, if you know somebody's guilty or you think they're guilty, you just say not guilty because you have the power to do so. We're saying that if you go through the trial setting and you are a juror and you don't think that the case has been made beyond a reasonable doubt, if 11 of them say guilty, you can be the 12th one to say not guilty and the whole thing has to start all over again. That person does not get sent to jail based upon that trial. And that is a very important thing to make sure that we get across to the public.
And at the same time, a bunch of kids,
12 angry men,
have you ever seen that movie?
Very
a bunch of kids are not going to let one person say, well, I just don't think he's guilty. They're not going to let that, you know, kids are a lot like that. They're like, well, why? Why do you say that? You know, they're not going to just sit around and let one person. In fact, real juries don't either. If you're going to hang a jury, you got to be ready to fight for hours, you know.
Good,
but
at least
while
I hear.
Well. Oh, you know what? I'm out of order. Yeah. Thank you. I heard it.
I'm
coming in. I have to leave now. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share these because I think you kind of wrote on my paper, but it says, when I was called for jury service and we sat in the room and they went down the random numbers of who were going to the courtroom, at the end of our service, there was nothing that I filled out to, for instance, give them any comments at the courthouse about my service. Okay, so that's what I was asking about. A survey at the end would help because I could self-disclose at that point and so on and so forth. So that's one way that could be added. The other thing was what we talked about a little bit earlier, you guys were talking about. Really, I think all of us, I'm kind of mystified still about the randomness of the system. And I remember interviewing a statistician that came to U of I a few years back. I think he's from out west. And he says, oh, you don't understand numbers. You don't understand numbers. It's not as random as you think. And that always stuck with me because I don't understand, as Andre said, well, do you pop names in, balls in, how does it come? Where does it go when it gets here? Where's the computer program that selects and where is it from? Is it possible that there's glitches, which we have glitches all the time? But we don't understand the system. So the system is mystified and is a mystery. And so when I come in the courthouse and then at the end of all of that, I still see an all-white jury. I'm totally mystified. So that's something that I think with public education and openness of that randomness, that needs to be teased out a little bit more. The other thing was I thought that, and I know this is going to be a hard one, but the cat and dog thing I think is pretty good. That's a very, automatically, you don't need any words to figure that one out. If we had a way to create posters that we could put up in public places, my hand hurts, and in churches, that would just be like a public service announcement poster. I know it's a hard time for county, but possibly we can look into some areas for a few posters. It's not, can't be that much.
I'm looking at that.
Kind of bear in people's mind, and you start replacing the perceptions of the old experience. And so, anyway, that's just one of them. I thought that was a good piece to do that. And then the last one is, could you all, we do it all the time, is we work with the U of I and get interns. For instance, I have an intern that's going to come and work with me that is specific HR intern. It would be great for this committee to have an intern that will work with a court administrator to really tease out this system and bring to the forefront through research and practice. Some of the areas that I'm sure people on the committee are unclear about, as well as the public. And so that intern's job this semester would be specific to work with the court administrator to really identify where there may be some holes in the system, where we could make some corrections or changes, or simply clarify for the public what it is.
Okay. I'd like for Roger or Judge Finis first to respond to that.
Okay. Go ahead.
The internship idea is... Never thought of that. But where do you, what college do you think they would come from? Law?
Graphic arts.
Well, we actually have law students that none that work directly for me, but are both our the law library and also individual judges hire law students to serve as interns. We provide that, and the students get credit for law school credit for doing so. I think that one thing the committee could benefit from. And something that we've discussed from time to time but have never actually done is to have the people who have built the software actually be on the phone with us from Tyler, Texas. And they can explain to you in much more detail exactly how that system works as far as the randomness is concerned and how that is all created, because what I've explained is as much as I know about how that all happens. There's no ping pong balls in a cage that you roll in. And I'm sure that there was at some point, there probably was, but with the advent of technology, that's the way it's being used. So I think that having them explain the randomness factor and how those are that actually is done would be beneficial not only to the committee, but something we could adopt and use in outreach as well.
Question.
I can obviously talk to them.
Patrick was actually next. Then
I just had two questions for these two folks. That was on my list. Sorry. Just one question for Pius. Pius, does this committee end at December?
No, see, we've already answered.
I don't have the answer to it. That's why I asked Pius.
Well, I have to go back and look at the original resolution. It probably would be...
It has to be reappointed.
It would probably be a good idea to reaffirm it to Judge DeFonis and the county board chair. Because it sort of was the combination county board judicial committee. So for that reason alone, it should be. It was not strictly a county board committee, so.
Okay, and just a second question for Mr.
Howard. You can call me Roger.
Okay. The company from Tyler, Texas, do they also, do they do jury systems all over the country?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they're quite widely used. The Jury 2000 software system is...
Well, you get some public participation, and they just take over the meeting. Anyway, Patrick.
Go ahead.
Patrick, go ahead.
I just want to say it was stated that 54% of the folks do not return their questionnaires. Is that correct?
That's right.
So can I assume that hypothetically, if of that 54%, if 40% turned them in, then the results obviously would be... maybe a little bit different on the as far as...
You mean 40% of the people who don't?
40% of the 54.
Well, sure, certainly. I mean, the more people you get, the better it is.
The numbers would be quite different.
And again, we're not talking about people who have bad addresses.
Right.
We're talking about ones who...
People just leave you sitting on the
right,
table.
Exactly.
Television.
Exactly.
So is that possibly the crux of, or a lot of the issue. It's just the idea that the people are just not turning them in, or
it's part of it, but we don't really. I'm sorry, I'm out of order. We don't really know whether those people were black or white, so it may not make any difference. More people turning them in, but it may not make any difference in the makeup of the jury.
Well, hypothetically, if they did turn them in, at least that would give us an opportunity to see what the numbers would indicate.
Didn't we have a graph a while ago where you found the zip codes and the streets and stuff, and it tended to be
areas
like
campus towns.
There were lots of areas, including the poor areas, but it was really focused heavily in campus.
Okay.
For our guests, is there anything else? I would like to set a time to come to Dre to meet with you about, and maybe Roger, just get together to see when we could actually set that up.
Absolutely.
And do the mock trial. But we want to tease out some stuff. I know Patrick has some concerns, other folks, of how we would set it up, which age groups and all that kind of different stuff. So that would be great. And then also Dr. Underwood, from a church perspective, do you think members or the other ministers who are supportive would be more inclined to have us come on like a Wednesday night or Sunday afternoon, or do we need to set up something in the community in particular and ask the ministers to invite their members out to a community event? So the options is three options. One or two of us come on a Sunday afternoon and we take 10 or 15 minutes and talk to the congregation about it. The other option is to come on a Wednesday night when it's a smaller setting and talk about on a Bible study night. Is that Wednesday night mostly?
You know, I was thinking Bible study. Right. Except one or two, they have Tuesday nights, like Glory International and Bethel, a few other ones, they have Tuesday nights.
Or a third option.
Video or something, you know, you know, to let them see or something, get their attention, because I know this is important to them. Because there are too many people. You know what's going on. We all know.
Well, it's difficult for us to do the video. The video takes time. So what we're trying to do right now is to get some video stuff going. So at this point, it's easier for us to come in person.
Yeah, but come in person, because this is important. I don't know why the people, but I know that people are concerned.
So would it be easier for
us? And cat and dog, I mean, it got me so, it took me so bad because all these things were going, what are you talking about? You know, because you know what people are saying, you know, and what are you saying to me? What are you, you know,
right.
I mean, it got me so, and I know I can't even say anything because I got back to the ghetto that quick. And you know, I got my collar, I didn't have my collar on. Do you understand? Because I know what people are going through.
So what I'm trying to clarify for us is that, so you think it'd be better for us to make a presentation to members of the congregation on a Wednesday night, or should we organize an event? Should this committee organize a community event and have people come out?
We got to do all of that. People need to be educated, because the perceptions must change, the reality, you know, got to change. I'm happy about this committee. I've been out of town. I've been to Barnes, so you know I've been serious problem with my eyes. So everything's gonna be all right, and I have surgery and all that. But I'm saying something gotta change. I'm glad to see this committee. I hope it goes on. Then get back into my education field and all these other backgrounds, randomness, and the survey lab, and you know. We got to get into all of these things. But what you're saying now, getting back to what you're saying, is important that we get this out to the people. Because so many of our members are going through, and other members of the church, like you said, 300 and some people on Sunday and all of that. Your pastor, I know, because a lot of members are in your church who are relatives and all, and other churches. We've got to do something that get more people into the jury pool.
Okay. So maybe I need to come to the next Alliance meeting. I need to know what's going to be, from the minister's perspective, what's best, a presentation on Sunday?
That's important.
Or both? You're saying just do both.
You and the judge become, I don't know, I haven't talked to people because I've been out of time. What happened when y'all were on, and you're going to do something with WBCP, I think that's going to be important. When you and Sister Carol talk a little bit about you and the judge being on, and I'm sure there are people listening. You know, sometimes people don't call, but you hear people, yeah, when they're talking something important. I got to wait until Sunday. I get to church and talk to people who are listening. I know that's important. And Straight Talk Live, when you're on at 11 o'clock, you're going to be on at 9 o'clock Saturday morning. That's tomorrow. And you're going to hear that probably Sunday. I know all of those things are important coming out to the church on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. That's going to be important. Making a presentation, coming to Salem with a big event or some other place, maybe IMC or big event. All of those things are important. And all those attacks or those are important. Big meetings, Wednesday nights, and even on Sunday, I'm sure they give you 20 minutes or 15 minutes to come and do that. And when you get to the videos, I think that's important too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Chairman, I have to leave. I have a Humane Society event to go to, so I work
on. Oh, no,
the furball, that's it. That's why I'm all dressed up.
That's what you do look so nice.
Yeah, I got a suit on and everything.
I thought you dressed up for us.
Well, that too, but anyway, I apologize.
Are we in?
Yes.
Are we going to do business?
No, we're going to. I think that our guests have exhausted what we asked them to come for, so I appreciate you coming, Andre, Dr. Unwood.
Thank you.
Okay, will y'all maybe talk about that afterwards? Is that possible? Because we only got 15 minutes left. We got a few things to do here. So,
I just have a lot of guests here. Hi, everyone.
Andre and Dr. Underwood.
One of the things we've kind of identified as a barrier to service is child care for people with young kids. It's kind of an automatic excuse for them to get out jury duty. I was wondering if there's anything that churches can do to help provide child care or let your congregation know that if this is your reason that you can't serve, let's bring it to me and maybe I can help get you child care, something like that. Can you make that?
I think there's a couple ways. I mean, we have crisis nursery that is set up and designed for such. I think I would say try to establish some formal link so whomever, if they were to contact that citizen and communicated about their term, and then the citizen said, well, I'm unable to serve because of child care issues, you know, make sure that they are astute enough, sensitive enough to ask the appropriate question about, you know, how old is your child? Have you ever thought about crisis nursery? Maybe it's just the mere fact that that citizen has not thought about that particular issue. But at the same token, people come up with collective reasons of not serving, and that could be that reason. You know, for you, once you have to find out, is it a real barrier or is it just a deflective barrier because of some anxiety that they may have about serving?
And I've thought about crisis nursery, but I've talked to people too that are really reluctant to take their kids there because it feels like, I don't know, they think that they think they'll be identified as a crisis mom or something if they take their kids to crisis nursery. And so I think the church has a real role there they could play.
I know Yvette Gray or Yvette Brown, an African American operator of a daycare center, I mean, maybe there's a collaboration to be established there with the core services and Yvette, if that's the case. I think it's all about if we want it to be successful, we find solutions. I think that there are the resources in place. We just have to be innovative and steadfast enough to make sure that we connect the dots.
See, a lot of people are not knowledgeable, and that's why I say SAMHSA, we support it, SAMHSA and SAMHSA grant, because they're supposed to be working. So as Tracy and his staff work with the agencies and all that, and they, you know, as they go on, hopefully, you know, the people can be more friendly, user-friendly. And because I have heard people fearful that the crisis nursery, they think maybe that they're not good parents and all. And we don't want that, you know. So education is another.
Ms. Avery, and then we're going to move on.
Well, I just, before Andre leaves, because Andre served on this the CCAP committee with me, and one of the things that we've been talking about in that committee for a long time is having a community forum. And I would love to be able to partner with this group and to have our community forum really centered and focused on this type of work. So I was going to invite Aaron and the judge or someone else from the committee that has time to come out on the next meeting of the CCAP is the Champaign Community and Police Partnership.
When's the meeting?
And that meeting is on Monday. It's during the day, Judge, so I hope that you can, and I know it might
what
be
time?
Tight, 2 o'clock.
CCAP. This coming Monday?
This coming Monday.
Is it 2 or 3?
Is that 2 o'clock? Or is it 2 o'clock? Check for the time, Andre. It might be 3.
This is at the annex, right?
It's later?
Yes, 3 o'clock at Douglas Annex.
3 o'clock at Douglas Annex. And so I would really like to invite you all to come out because this is one of the areas that I think that CCAP, we've been trying to get organized to get a community forum going. So that is on the table. This would be a wonderful topic. It'd be nice if you guys could come out and talk to the committee about the work that we're doing here, and then maybe we can do this public forum. And we would certainly like to be co-sponsors or even facilitators of
that. It's the Champaign Community and Police Partnership.
And then for those that are concerned that it would only get, the Wright Street is just an imaginary boundary, in case anybody didn't know that. So because it is, the committee is Champaign Community and Police Partnership, we would certainly not exclude anyone coming to the forum from Urbana and surrounding areas. So if that crossed your mind and it might have been of a concern, we certainly don't want to exclude anybody.
So we'll discuss that. I may be able to make that Monday at 3 o'clock. I'm pretty sure I will. Just upon it, so you'll see.
No, I'm supposed to pick it. Yes, my jury trial start Monday afternoon. It depends on Mr. Rosenbaum's office gives me any work to do. And sometimes they fall through. If I can be there, I will. if I can't, I'll see if Roger can make it.
But okay. I think that would be really great if you guys could, and Judge, if you're Kendrick, I think that would light a fire underneath the committee to really get this community forum established. And also, just one other thing I have for, and the comment about the flyer, because you were having trouble trying to locate the originators of it to get permission to use it. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't we just substitute the cat for different? We could use the concept, but just use different. I mean, because it's pretty powerful. We don't have to use dogs and cats. We could use cats and mice.
Cats and mice.
Put the cat up there and put a mouse down there.
Right.
Oh, sure.
We know a few grants.
I mean, the concept is still
there. It would be our luck that we get sued.
Yeah. Why? Because of
the copyright. No. If
we change it.
But we're using that one. That one's been copyrighted.
No, if we can use cats and mice is what I was thinking, because that would still be just the visual.
Let's make it somewhat generalized. They'll sue you for stealing concept.
Cats and a gerbil.
Yeah.
What did you
say? Cats and a gerbil.
Okay, all right. So that's something we can look into, though. And we have a few people that work on different things that could help us possibly with that, who would be interested in that. Okay. And if we're not infringing on anybody's rights or whatever. Old business, really quickly, the poem.
I'm out
here. All right.
Thank you, sir.
My poem has not aired as a PSA. I have not sat down and gotten that done yet, so I have to work on that still. I did send your stuff, Patrick, to WBCP. I did talk to Sam, and I did talk to Eric. I don't know exactly why. I haven't heard it on as a PSA at all at WBCP, so I'm thinking we should just pay for the spot that we talked about a long time ago. I think we should put together an ad and run the spot on WBCP and just do it, get it done like that. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
I can't imagine the left would not play it. Right? Why don't we just put it in the rotation?
Well, yeah, definitely. We'll,
I haven't heard it on left because I don't listen 24 hours a day, but I've never heard it.
Well, we need the CD in order to do it on left. We can't have it in the file on the computer. I don't know how to do it like that. But if I have it as a drop in on a CD, like on my show tomorrow, we can play it. You got it on a CD? Not yet?
It's in AP. It's all
MP3
format, yeah.
Okay. All right, so we can still look into that I can talk to, hopefully talk to Mr. Pirtle tomorrow, and let's get the actual numbers. I had some layout, but we need to get that part done. We have to get some education going out on a consistent basis. And it's a commercial radio, and they need to pay the bills, you know? Okay.
New business.
You got his own business. All right.
I really do. And I really have to apologize. Mr. Holland left. Roger left. But I remember Champaign-Urbana Day, we were going to get those sample questionnaires out, which is very important because listening to the percentage of the return, we know it's really important. So I have to apologize. But getting in touch with Lorraine has not been very easy. I've been trying to get in touch with her about something else. And I was had my group performing out of Champaign-Urbana Day, but I wasn't even there that day. I sent one of my staff persons out there. Claire Cake went out, and she was with the kids, so I didn't make it out. Trying to get in touch with Lorraine before that night, so we just never made that connection. I wasn't at the Champaign-Urbana Day because I had to leave. I was out of town. So I dropped the ball in trying to make sure that that got handed off. So I have. Would you make sure you apologize to Roger? Because he did send me that sample. I thought that was great. I did see that. And we want to be able to still use that.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason why you can't.
So even though it didn't get done for Champaign-Urbana Day, I still would like to be able to use that. And I think that could be a part of our education. Because in taking, I don't know if you guys even talked to, did you talk about the questionnaires and not having people not sending them back on the radio? That probably did occupy some of the time.
No, we didn't get into that very much.
But
no.
That seems
well,
we gave the numbers.
Right, but you talked about, at the very end, you said send in the questionnaire.
Oh, okay, very good. Because that seems to be the thing that we've been talking a lot about. Mm-hmm. And that definitely needs to be something that as we are getting our information out, we do have the sample available. We should continue to try to figure out ways to use it and get it out there.
Okay.
One more piece of old business,
yes,
just real quick. Does anybody know if Steve Beck's court-watching report, the crunch the numbers on it, is that due out anytime? Does anybody know? It's unfortunate Joan's not here.
The last information that I had from him is that they were using... With the departure of Adam Martinsic, they were relying on the survey research lab, and I just have to guess that it hasn't come together yet. I think that everyone who worked on gathering the data, well, brokenhearted isn't the right word, but that they'll be very disappointed if an entire academic semester's worth of observation doesn't make it into analysis. I don't think Steve would let that happen, but I know there's been a hang up with the statistical analysis.
That's what I understood too. Okay, thank you.
Okay, y'all, so new business. Patrick.
And I want to, touch on how the reaching out to the community and the especially the churches. And I don't know how, and I know Ms. Underwood said, being able to present on a Sunday, Sunday morning, doing some morning service, and I don't know, that's definitely going to be a challenge. If pastors would even allow us to come in and even do something like that, especially with, the bigger churches. Being able to come in on a Sunday morning and talk about jury service. Even, I remember one time when we were trying to put posters and things up, having to call the churches and say, can we, sometime yes, sometime no. And we don't want that to be the hindrance for us to be able to continue to keep moving. Because, like Ms. Hunter said, they're concerned. And their members are being affected for whatever reason why, how we can get them involved is a challenge. But I do think that we really, as a group, we need to focus on how do we get the information out through, like we're doing the PSAs, the videotaping, the public televisions. I think that is important. I think everyone can bring something to the table about bringing that to the public. Mm-hmm. Now, I sent you guys just a copy of what I thought would be something that I would be interested in getting to the community and getting them to understand what are their rights and, you know, how to conduct themselves. But there's a group that there's a population that I know that just need to understand why you need to come here and what is important for you to come in here and how to act and what's appropriate and what are you coming for and what, you know, to me, that's very important. You know, that's very important because that's the population that I deal with. And, you know, whether they are not in the system, out of the system, older, younger, you know, they have a lot of reasons why they don't want to come to the jury, you know, the jury service. I mean, it could be even intimidating for me and you to even sit on the jury. But, I mean, of course, we know our responsibility. We may go through with it, but for other people that don't do none of this, that don't, I mean, they still have a responsibility. But I think we have to really get that. I would have liked for it to make it a little bit easier if we could have got the pastors to get us to this service, because that would have made our job a lot. I mean, would have made it a lot easier. We'd have got a lot more out there. You know, maybe at some point they may, maybe with the community forums you can invite them. But how do you get them to give a sermon? Because they're in a better position than me to get up and say something to the congregation. Especially at my church, you know, they would definitely be, the pastor would definitely be a better person because that's who they want to hear. They don't want to hear me, you know, talking about this. Some may get it, some may not, but they surely don't want to hear that. So the pastor would be the best person to give that information to their congregation because they are the pastor of that church. And so that's what I think that is in the best interest of the other committee of how do we get it, how do we involve them, what do we do next with everyone's expertise and getting that information out there to the community, explaining how, you know, this is what you can expect. This is what, you know, with the questionnaires, if you get them, fill them out. You know, how they look. What's the reason why you need them? So that would be my input to the committee.
Okay. There's a lot of different things that we need to do, and I think some of the stuff we just need to move on. And I think this is clear that we don't just talk about this in here. We don't just talk about this stuff when we are on the radio or stuff. These things come up a lot of different places. So, there are some ideas that we have about the barbershops and the beauty salons and stuff like that even. We can just post up and do voter registration and talk about the importance of jury service at the same time. I mean, it's a lot of different ways that we could do it. So we need to explore some of these outside of the community. They don't have to be, and I guess I'm speaking to you and I maybe getting together on a couple of pieces because I'm understanding where you're coming from, where we can maybe sit down and just do something and sort of report it back to the committee. But it doesn't have to be sanctioned always by this committee for us to do jury education, you know, jury service education. Okay. Let me look at this here because I think the schedule of the next meeting is October what, y'all? Now, that's going to be a rough one for me. Every single Friday is let me see.
Are we changing the meeting time today?
No.
No.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that who has the calendar? Randy, you got?
You don't got no better time today.
October 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29.
Okay, so October 1 is way too fast.
Right.
I don't want to go on the last Friday. We have something to do on the last Friday of each month.
Oh, wait.
So, the first is not doable. It's too quick of a turnaround. And then the 8th, right?
That's the symposium.
The symposium is on the 8th.
Then the 15th.
I will be out of town. Now, the 15th could work for you all. I'll be out of town on the 15th.
What about the 22nd?
I have a book signing, book reading opening that I'm doing on the 22nd. So
15?
Yeah, I think we better.
15?
Patricia!
Is it? Yeah.
I will
take over.
All right.
Oh. October 15th. October 15th.
Well, the 15th is only that.
Wait a minute. Yeah, no, that's 3 weeks.
We ain't for it.
No,
yeah.
It'd be 3 weeks.
Except the summer. Oh, I won't be here.
Maybe Matt's a chair.
I'll be in Memphis on the 15th. But I'll be here the next week.
Well, depends on how it goes. 2 weeks
different. 22nd
is okay. I mean, you guys can do 22nd. I'd like to see all y'all come out to the book signing and reading, though. I mean, so I hope y'all don't pick the 22nd, but hey.
What's after the 22nd?
The 29th.
The 29th?
I mean, that's a bad day for some folks.
Just Halloween.
No, that wasn't what Jenny was talking about. It's something else.
No, I belong to an organization that gets together once a month for a social. It's the last.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And I'm not out of the line. It's the Democratic Party of Champaign.
It's a various organization, I think.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Right, the 22nd then?
So we're trying to decide the 22nd?
November 5th?
Well.
I think we need to meet.
Election day.
October 22nd.
Okay. October 22nd or November 5th? Right? That's the next.
October 22nd will work for me. I'm thinking
November because that gives us some time.
Because you know what? We have stuff to do in between. We have to get permission to use that.
All right, so we've got some work
and
to do.
And November 5th could be a very solemn day. Yeah.
It's going to be solemn.
And if with Preston Williams, if you want to set up some times, just let me know, and I'd be glad to go with you and talk to the principals. Because that's something we need to get started too, is getting to the schools.
I know whether or not you're.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
On the 5th of November. Oh, you know, Monday?
Adjourned.
One of us will be there either, Roger.
Okay, if all hearts and minds are clear, this meeting is adjourned, 7:05.
Yes. And then I have about two or three weeks off, and then I pick it up again. Right. Well, because I had to cut so many weeks out of the jury term, it doesn't look like a continuous term. It looks like a crazy quilt. You got juries here, juries there. And when we first started, it just continued to roll. And you could see a whole block of jury trials. I'm cutting them out of weeks where there might be a holiday. I'm cutting them out of. So I'm down to about 35 now.
She was here so
long. I like the way you feel, Gary.
Okay. Yeah.
We got that.
Right.
That's why I took my time and I said, okay, are you kind of saying standing here and explaining to everybody?
Yeah, exactly.
Because nobody, everybody's not going to get it. And I knew that reaction wasn't going to be good. Because at a glance, it was like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thanks for being videotaping.
Oh, sure.
That's all I mean. I don't mean like doing it for anymore. That's what
I mean. Someone's not, you know, kids are crying, et cetera, they're not cover managers.
Right.
But, yeah, that's so but it's been like flashed up there, like just simple, boom.
This is what it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Let's do it. See, we never thought about this stuff, but that's why we're not people. And like things like this. Yeah.